Maundy Thursday, in some churches known as Holy Thursday or Covenant Thursday, is the beginning of the Easter Triduum, in which we commemorate the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It can be seen as one continuous service, much like a three-act play or musical presentation that has a brief pause from one moment to the next, that is more of a resetting as the next movement begins, but not a break in the presentation. To experience the complete work, if you will, brings us to a fuller experience of the final days of Jesus and celebration of his resurrection. The collect for Palm Sunday gave us a window into the week to come. It read, "Almighty and ever-living God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our nature and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering and also share in his resurrection." Maundy, sort of an odd word until you know that it comes from the Latin for the mandate, for mandate or command. In our gospel reading this evening, we heard Jesus tell his disciples, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This week, as we remember, started out with cheers and shouts of joy for all the deeds of power that had been seen by the multitude of the disciples as they joyfully shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Before too long, those shouts of joy were replaced with the multitude starting to distance themselves from Jesus and his disciples because they were under attack for being followers of Jesus. Jesus had become a threat to those in power due to his acts of mercy, popularity, and charisma. He was lifting people from the darkness that held them in control. He was showing them the way and the light to an awakening of their spirit. The ways of oppression that helped the rulers maintain control weren't working as well now that Jesus offered an alternative way of living and acceptance of others whom they had shunned in the past, an acceptance which gave their hearts freedom. Knowing that the authorities were looking for a reason to arrest Jesus, Jesus and his disciples made their way to a safe room where they could take a breath and have a meal together. Jesus, aware that the time had come for him to literally put his life on the line, on the cross for us, he had one last opportunity to teach his disciples how to carry on without him. When I think of this night, I imagine Jesus wanting to go to each of his disciples and literally take them by the shoulders and shake them, saying, "Lord, you've got to understand what I've been teaching you. I'm not going to be here. You are the ones that have to carry on from now on in my name. My death cannot be the end." Jesus didn't choose his disciples because of their extraordinary abilities or great intelligence. He chose a group of ordinary people who were willing to drop everything and follow him. He has chosen this group of ordinary people, all of us, to carry on as his disciples who will love one another and celebrate that love with others as we break bread in remembrance of him. Note, there is no caveat to who the disciples were to love. Jesus told them to love one another just as he loved them. Jesus' love was and is unconditional. There were no conditions attached. Jesus was known to welcome sinners, tax collectors, and anyone else that came to him. We are called to show that same kind of love toward each other. When we look at the events in tonight's readings from Corinthians and the Gospel, we can see them as three separate acts, or we can recognize them for what they demonstrate. Together, the institution of the Eucharist, the foot washing, and the giving of a new commandment were all an act of love. I read a meditation this week entitled "The Eucharistic Heart of Jesus," in which the writer notes the words of consecration spoken by Jesus and states, "With these words, he gave them the power of the holy consecration, which continuously renews the sacrament of love." The sacrament of love. Have you thought of the Eucharist in this way before? After we proclaim the mystery of faith, the celebrant continues with these words. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption. We have been redeemed by a selfless act of love. It is as though Jesus said to those that were threatened by his love and mercy, "Take me, don't harm them. I'm their teacher. It's me you want." Each time we celebrate the Eucharist together, we celebrate the sacrament of love. Listen closely to the words of consecration Father Brian will speak later, as he holds up the host and breaks it in two. Remember that Christ's body was broken for each of us. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. Now this was evening, and Jesus and the disciples had been walking on the dusty roads all day in their sandals. Jesus went to each of the disciples and washed their feet, just as a servant would have done when you entered someone's home. Jesus wanted the disciples to understand that he was not above showing humility by washing their dirty, tired, and cracked feet. Another act of love and caring. Peter, of course, objects until Jesus explains he has set an example for them, an example they are to follow. Too often in today's world, people are focused on proving they are better, above those around them, that they are smarter or have more money. They want to show they are greater in some way. It's an easy trap for any of us to fall into, but not where or how we are called. When times were going well for Jesus and the disciples exhibited a little pride themselves. Remember the conversation about who was greater among them, or who would sit at Jesus' right hand? There are times in the gospel readings when you can imagine the disciples walking around with the attitude, "We're with him." Of course, fear changed that attitude for Peter and led him to deny knowing Jesus. We're not called to be in competition with anyone. We are called to serve. When you see someone in need, reach out your hand. Make the redemptive love of Jesus known to those around you. Follow Jesus' commandment that we love one another as he has loved us. Weeks ago, as I thought about preparing this homily, I kept thinking, I want to try to bring something new or a different angle with this homily. I've preached on Maundy Thursday many times. What can I say that might put a new spin on this lesson? Well, the fact is, there is no new approach. Different words, perhaps, but the lesson is the same. Jesus took on human form and came to earth because the people were broken. They had gotten off track and needed to be brought back. They needed to be redeemed from thinking it was all about them. Jesus had no other plan. If the disciples hadn't paid attention or understood the mercy and love of Jesus, Christianity would die and Jesus' life would have been given in vain. Jesus had no other plan but for his disciples to spread the gospel and to love one another as he had loved them. The plan has worked. We're living proof. Now it's up to each of us to keep moving forward in love and service. It's up to us to welcome the stranger and treat them as though they have been with us all along. We are the disciples of our time. We haven't been chosen because we're smart, good-looking, or have money. We were chosen at baptism before any other potential could be realized. There is no one person here who isn't capable in some way of serving God by serving others. You can show hospitality toward others, send a card, make a call, offer a smile that says you care. Standing with your hands in your pockets and your head down isn't going to work. Roll up your sleeves and pick up your towel. There are feet to be washed.